Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining us today for the opportunity to spend some time with Tony Khan, who's here to discuss one of AEW's signature events that happens at this time of the year every year, AEW Double or Nothing. And this year, we're set for the Desert Diamond Arena in Glendale, Arizona. So we're going to get going here in a second, but first, the traditional housekeeping items. In the interest of time and giving everyone the opportunity to get with Tony, let's try to refrain from asking two-parted questions, and then finally try to keep everything focused to what we're here for, and that's AEW Double or Nothing. So with that, without further ado, Tony Khan, I'm going to turn it over to Tony here, and then he'll have some opening thoughts, and then we're going to get into the questions. Tony.
Thank you, Jim. I'm really excited to be here with everyone today. It's amazing. It's 6 years since the very first AEW show, and I'm very excited for this weekend. It should be a great show on Sunday, and I'm excited to answer your questions and hopefully visit with a bunch of you who've been covering AEW since the very beginning, 6 years ago. And with that, we can get to the questions. Thank you, Jim.
All right. You're right about that. 6 years now. It's been fantastic. So John Alba from the Takedown on SI will lead us off, Tony. And then on deck, we'll have Courtney Rice from Women's Wrestling Talk. So, John, you are up.
You got me? Sorry, it was taking a while to unmute.
Yeah, we're good. Hi, John.
Okay. It's great to chat with you, Jim. Thank you, Tony. Always great to chat. And
hey, John.
We had a late Knicks game last night after Dynamite, so we got a lot to catch up on. But
yeah, we had half the locker room watching the Knicks game last night. So I know you had a challenging night, but it's good to hear from you.
Got to drag Danny Garcia away from the TV there. But I want to ask about the main event, because you guys announced that the Ospreay and Hangman match is going to be the main event. Traditionally, not always, but traditionally, the Anarchy and the Arena match has served as the main event for this. And this year, you're including the women in it for the first time. The Death Riders have been involved in your main event scene for the almost past 5 months now, and there's been some mixed feedback online as a result of that. What was your thought process in not including the Death Riders in the main event here and instead opting to give that slot to Will Ospreay and Hangman Page?
Well, I think it's going to be a fantastic pay-per-view. I'm very excited about the Owen Hart finals. I'm very excited for both of the Owen Hart finals, the men's and the women's matches. Very excited about Mercedes Moné versus Jamie Hayter, and very excited about Hangman Page versus Will Ospreay. And I think both matches have just been doing a fantastic job. We've been building a lot of excitement, and all four wrestlers have really been delivering in their interviews and all the wrestling they've been doing for us in 2025 and as long as they've all been here. I really am very excited about Hangman Page versus Will Ospreay. I think it's going to be a fantastic main event. The Anarchy in the Arena match is a great, great part of the pay-per-view. We have, at times, you know, had not closed with the Anarchy in the Arena match. In fact, the first Anarchy in the Arena match, I believe, was third from the end. And I think sometimes, instead of focusing on the placement on the card, it's important to just look at the card as a whole. There's great matches. And everything on this show is going to be great and is going to have an opportunity to hit a home run. And in this case, I think Will Ospreay versus Hangman Page, both men have been absolutely smashing it out of the park all year. They've just been doing a fantastic job. And I think that both Will Ospreay and Hangman bring a lot to the table. I think it's going to be a very exciting, compelling match. I think there are multiple matches on this card, both of the Owen Hart finals, the Anarchy in the Arena, and many other things that would be very compelling in the main event spot. But I think Hangman and Will Ospreay are going to do a great job there. And when I looked at the very first Anarchy in the Arena match, it was actually not at the end of the show, and many people thought that was potentially the best one yet. So I don't think it necessarily has to go at the end, you know, when you look back. And then looking back at some of our best shows, some of our best matches in the history of AEW. Hangman Page and Will Ospreay have been involved in some of the greatest matches and some of the greatest moments ever in AEW. And I can't wait for their match this Sunday at Double or Nothing. Thanks for asking, John.
Okay, thanks, John. Courtney Rice from Women's Wrestling Talk is next. And then Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net will follow Courtney. Courtney, you're up.
Courtney, can you hear us? Courtney, hello? There you go. Yep.
Hello. Okay. Hi, Tony. I want to talk about one of the women's matches happening at Double or Nothing, and you mentioned about the Owen Hart Women's Tournament between Mercedes Moné and Jamie Hayter. And we did see the promo last night between those two ladies, and want to focus a lot about Jamie Hayter, since a lot of people are now starting to get into AEW and not familiar with her. A lot of people tend to forget she was a former AEW Women's Champion, and she had a few setbacks between her injury and her visa. And my question regarding this weekend's match between both of these ladies, is it a possibility we get to see a resurgence with Jamie Hayter and having her back into the title picture for the AEW Women's Championship?
Yeah, I think it's going to be a great match. And both of the finalists, Jamie Hayter and Mercedes Moné, are two of the best wrestlers in AEW. They've had very different paths to get here. Jamie Hayter's been in AEW for a long time, but like you said, she's had some challenges along the way. She was in AEW actually dating back in 2019. And then when the lockdown happened, she was away for a long time and she came back as a completely different wrestler. And Jamie Hayter's really somebody that, looking back to the very first year of AEW, has been with us and done great things and continued to improve, got better and better, and reached the height of the profession. She became the world champion. And like you said, she's had some setbacks with injury. And then we had to get her visa renewed, which worked great. And she's back and she's doing some of the greatest work in her career. I think right now she's doing the very best work of her career. The stuff last night with Mercedes and Jamie Hayter was absolutely fantastic. And I think she's met her match. Mercedes Moné is one of the best wrestlers on the planet. Mercedes Moné is the face of the TBS channel. And both of these women would be a great number one contender, whether it's Jamie Hayter or Mercedes Moné. Either one of them is a great number one contender to whoever wins the AEW World Championship match between Timeless Toni Storm and Mina Shirakawa. I think to have so many great names and great wrestlers in the title picture, it's very intriguing. It's very interesting. I'm very excited about it. And I really think that whoever wins the Owen Hart Finals, whoever wins the Women's World Championship match, we're going to have a fantastic world title match at AEW All In. And the title picture is really interesting right now. I think AEW is having an excellent 2025, and I'm really excited about what all four of those women are doing: Jamie Hayter, Mercedes Moné, Timeless Toni Storm, and Mina Shirakawa. And your question specifically was about Jamie Hayter, who I completely agree with what you said. She's overcome a lot to get into this position. And yes, I really believe Jamie Hayter is capable of being a top star and doing everything it takes to be a great champion and a great leader in AEW. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Courtney. Jason Powell from ProWrestling.net is next. Andrew Bedalla from Final Bell Media will follow Jason. Jason, you're up.
Tony, can you hear me?
Yeah, hey.
So I guess my question, it relates to what I perceive as the improvement of Dynamite lately. And of course, it's all subjective, but it seems like the move to smaller venues has helped with the atmosphere. Maybe you're focusing on more of a core group of wrestlers. Can you comment on those ideas, and also just anything else that may have changed behind the scenes, if there's more voices involved, or just, you know, whatever's led to what I consider to be improvement?
No, there's less voices involved. And that may be part of the, And I, you know, I've really tightened it up. And I think this is like peak pandemic AEW in terms of having a great crew of people that are really excited to be here and that really are all very excited about AEW. I think we had this great opportunity in 2025 with a new start, with an opportunity to simulcast and reach a new audience and maybe even reach some fans that had cut the cord. But there's still such a great base on TBS and TNT. And I think, Jason, what you're seeing, it is subjective, but there is real data behind it to say that we've grown our audience in Q1, which is kind of amazing because people expected when we started simulcasting that the cable audience would go backwards, but actually we've grown the audience in Q1, and in Q2 we're doing very, very well, and things are really trending well for the year. I knew this was a big opportunity for AEW, so in 2025 I've tried to make the most of it and go back to things that have worked really well for us since the beginning and had that mindset, like every week we're in Daly's place and we're going to do the very best AEW, whether we're in one of these venues you talked about, like these really interesting places we've been, the Detroit, the Masonic Temple was a fantastic example. We've been in some of these really exciting venues. Hammerstein in New York is a great example. I'm really excited to go to the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago. And those are great venues, but we also had shows in massive venues with huge audiences. And I think it's great having that balance. And I also think whether you're in a great theater or an amphitheater or a huge arena or a huge stadium, we've been bringing the very best of AEW, like you said, with a great crew of wrestlers and the support of the fans. And I think by consistently putting on great shows week after week in 2025, you mentioned Dynamite. I also think Collision's having a great 2025, and the data is really good for Collision also in 2025. Both shows really grew their audience in Q1 over last year, Q4, and are both having a great Q2. As far as what we're doing, I mean, we've got the best wrestlers in the world. AEW is where the best wrestlers wrestle. And it's really, I think, been a great year for that. So no, I appreciate you saying that. And it's good to hear, you know, you're somebody who I've been reading about your opinions on wrestling since I was a kid. And you've been covering the sport for a long time. Your opinions have a lot of validity. No two people can agree on every opinion about wrestling, because like you said, it's a subjective thing. But there's real evidence to say the fans really like what AEW is doing right now. And I'm glad to hear that you like it. That's a good sign for us. So thank you, man.
Thank you, Jason. Andrew Baydala from Final Bell Media is next. Cameron Hawkins from Yahoo Sports will follow.
Hope Andrew, you're can you guys hear me? Hello?
Hey.
Hey, Tony. How are you?
Great, man.
Currently, your pay-per-view distribution, especially in the United States, appears to be quite spread out and non-exclusive. With that in mind, congratulations on AEW Double or Nothing this weekend. Can we expect AEW to continue this approach for pay-per-views, or is there a possibility of establishing a singular distributor or dedicated home for your events in the near future?
Well, we have great partners, and I'm excited about the new partnerships. You know, I was excited when we added YouTube, and we've had some great opportunities to add new pay-per-view partners, and in particular, Amazon Prime. And Amazon Prime, one of the largest companies in the world, one of the largest streaming services, and a great opportunity to partner with them. And we've had a great collaboration with them. I believe Double or Nothing will be our third pay-per-view now on the Amazon Prime platform. And it's becoming very quickly a huge part of our business. And I think that's going to continue to grow. Long term, I still am looking towards pay-per-views on Max, and they're building that technology as I understand, and that's something that would be very exciting for us. And I think we've also got the opportunity to sell on cable, satellite, and all these different providers. But certainly this year, while we're looking ahead to hopefully sometime soon being able to launch pay-per-views on Max and building out that tech with our great partners at Warner Brothers Discovery. In the meantime, right now, there are great pay-per-view partners. There are great places today where you can go order Double or Nothing. And for us this year, it's been great partnership with Amazon Prime. And even with Amazon Prime, they collaborate with Max. You know, you can buy Max in Amazon and you can watch Dynamite in Amazon Prime through the Max subscription. So that's pretty cool. And they have all the AEW content there, and then it goes right into the pay-per-view. So I think that's also a neat synergy. And as we've expanded our partnerships, the number one partnership, the most important thing we do is always the partnership between AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery. It's the lifeblood of AEW, and it really allows us to build out this great roster, to build out these great TV shows, and it makes AEW where the best wrestle. The platform to be able to have Dynamite on TBS, Collision usually on TNT, but tonight on TBS on a special Thursday Collision tonight. And, you know, that really sets the tone for AEW and makes it possible to do what we do. And in addition to the great partnership with TBS and TNT at Warner Brothers Discovery, now it's a big deal being on Max. I'm also a lifelong fan of HBO. It's my favorite channel of all time. Almost all of my favorite shows, whether it's Sopranos, Succession, The Larry Sanders Show, and Curb Your Enthusiasm, and so many others, are all on HBO. And now, eventually here, coming soon, AEW is going to be part of an HBO Max, which really excites me. And as we're part of that Max family right now, you know, it's been great reaching the streaming audience with our TV shows. And eventually there's also the plan to have a pay-per-view menu, which is exciting. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Andrew. Cameron Hawkins from Yahoo Sports is next. I will follow Cameron with a write-in question, Tony, from Ella J, a wrestling gal. But first, let's go to Cameron. Cameron Hawkins from Yahoo Sports.
Seahawk.
That's me, yeah. thank you for your time. Just a quick question. Recently, he's not on the card, but you guys signed Kevin Knight. He's been really prominent on TV. In your opinion, of course, you know, you run the thing, but any feedback you received, any information you heard, what makes AEW a great destination for young talent, in your opinion?
Well, I think AEW is a great destination for young talent. I love working with young wrestlers. Our staff loves working with young wrestlers. I think what's really great is our veteran wrestlers love working with the young wrestlers. There's great opportunities to come here, learn from the very best wrestlers who have decades of experience, and even some wrestlers who are in the prime of their career right now and are in their prime, yet they have 10, 12, 15 plus years of experience, despite being very young people. I think it's very, very impressive, the knowledge that the AEW locker room has. It's a very positive place. And I have to say, in 2025, I think it's the most positive it's been since we were in Daly's Place. I really, really enjoy coming to the shows. And I think we have a really, really positive crew right now. And I think it's coming across in the TV show how much people really like in AEW right now. And Kevin Knight is a great example of that. That's somebody that came in, he got a great opportunity. It's no secret that one of the biggest and best stars in AEW is Jay White. Jay White's injury was I was upset. I really wish we had Jay White. I love Jay White. I think he's just absolutely fantastic. And in particular, this past year, whether it was the classic series of matches he had with Hangman Page, his performance in the Casino Gauntlet matches, just time after time, I think Jay White just comes through. He's absolutely fantastic. I really believe in him. And when he got injured, it's a blow to the company. It's a blow to Jay. It's a blow to all of us. And it was disappointing, but Kevin Knight really stepped in and has made the most of a great opportunity to rise up the card. And I think we like to give our young wrestlers opportunities. And it just so happened Kevin became an indispensable part of the AEW TV crew very quickly, and has really risen to the opportunity, whether it's in singles matches or teaming with Speedball Bailey, who's challenging for the Continental Championship this Sunday at Double or Nothing. I think Kevin Knight's just fit in AEW like a glove. And with Kevin in particular, it was interesting because I had already committed, because again, I care about developing, you know, young wrestlers. I'd committed to sending Nick Wayne and Kevin Knight to Japan. And Kevin became so indispensable to the TV. It was like, man, if we'd known how big Kevin was going to be so quickly on the shows, because his role in the show did change. He really made the most of a great opportunity. We were planning to utilize Kevin, and I really, really like him. And then just like in other sports, when there's an injury and one of the star players gets injured, it creates an opportunity for one of the young players. And that's what happened here. And Kevin's really made the most of it. We were going to use Kevin on TV, but certainly he's gotten more opportunities, and especially being able to wrestle Will Ospreay in the Owen Hart tournament. And I think Kevin is just an excellent example of a young wrestler who's come in here and done a great job. And we're following Kevin's progress in New Japan Pro Wrestling in the Super Juniors. But we're also really excited to have Kevin back in AEW, where he's got a bunch of great mentors. I really like working with Kevin. I think he's a fantastic young wrestler and a great example of the kind of young wrestlers we want to recruit. And also hopefully sets a good example for why young wrestlers would want to choose to be in AEW or even work with AEW and New Japan Pro Wrestling in a unique case like Kevin's. Thank you for asking, Seahawk.
Thank you, Cameron. So, Tony, I've got a write-in question here from Ella J, a wrestling gal. I'm going to read it, and then I'd like to ask Bill Bodkin from the Pop Break to be ready after Tony addresses Ella's question, which is the following. With Anarchy in the Arena taking place this weekend, Willow and Marina make history by being the first two women to compete in this match. How important is it that these two are in this match?
Well, I think it's fantastic. I really believe that the Death Riders have run roughshod, and now is a great opportunity for the stars of AEW, a lot of the fan favorites, to band together. And we've seen that with some really exciting action in recent weeks. And for a long time now, Willow Nightingale has been a big part of this. Willow is one of the people that stood up against the Death Riders. And I think it's really cool because Marina has interfered in a lot of these matches. Marina has gotten very physical with a lot of the wrestlers, has been very involved, and it makes total sense in this Anarchy in the Arena. So I thought it would be great for them to be in this match, and I'm glad people are excited for it. I think it's something new and different that we have not seen yet in the Anarchy in the Arena, but it makes total sense with what's happening in AEW right now. And I think Marina and Willow are going to do a great job in the Anarchy in the Arena match, and it's going to be an amazing spectacle and a really exciting fight this Sunday.
All right. Thank you, Ella. Thank you, Tony. Bill Bodkin from the Pop Break is next, to be followed by Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer. Bill. Hello, Bill.
Bill, are you there?
Hello?
There you are.
Hey, sorry about that. Tony, I want to fast forward a few weeks after Double or Nothing, which looks to be an incredible pay-per-view, to the middle of June for Grand Slam Mexico. I know you're a lifelong wrestling fan like myself. I just want to talk about the emotions of running Dynamite in one of the most famous arenas within the entire world, and what you're hoping to present to, like you said, a lot of new faces who are watching AEW and your partnership with CMLL.
Well, I'm very excited about it. I'm excited for so many wrestling fans to see Arena Mexico for the first time on television and on Max, and very excited about AEW becoming the first company to ever do TV in America out of Arena Mexico. It's going to be amazing. And I'm really thrilled about the partnership we built with CMLL. Salvador and his team are great people. They built a great company. CMLL has 90 years of history. It is the premier wrestling organization in Mexico, and I think one of the all-time premier wrestling organizations in the world. And in just a few short years, Salvador and I have built a great relationship, and the team around Salvador, I really trust them, and I believe they've come to trust me, and we've done more things. We built a growing partnership and collaboration and friendship, and to go down there, it's a lot of trust from both sides to put a show like this together, and I'm really excited about AEW showing the very best of Lucha Libre and showing some of the best wrestling fans, one of the best wrestling arenas. It's just going to be a great experience. And I thought having our first ever AEW event in Mexico, it would be very fitting to do it in Arena Mexico and do it as the AEW Grand Slam Mexico for the first time. And I can't imagine a better partnership and a better timing, a better place for all of this than just about a month from now in June. It's crazy how soon it's come. For over 20 years, for actually probably more like 30 years, I've been watching wrestling from Arena Mexico, and in particular, when WCW closed down, I really became a bigger and bigger CMLL fan. We're also doing a Dean tribute show out here at Double or Nothing. And for those of you who don't know what the Dean show is, it's a tribute to the late, great Dean Rasmussen. And he was a great wrestling writer, and he was a very entertaining, passionate wrestling fan. And he was part of a group of guys, the Death Valley Driver. And I started reading this in high school, and I started like posting on their message boards and following their conversations. But a big thing to me was after WCW closed down and ECW closed down, two of the three American wrestling promotions that were on TV a lot were shut down. And to me, it was interesting because CMLL was something I started watching more and more of. I followed it a little bit, but in the early 2000s, I really became a bigger and bigger fan of it. It was on the Death Valley Driver where they sang the praises, Dean Rasmussen and Phil Schneider and a bunch of people posting there about a number of the great luchadors, including Blue Panther, who is actually coming to the show and will be part of the Dean tribute show. I thought that was really cool. I've been a fan of the CMLL for a long time. To have Mystico, who's one of the biggest wrestling stars in the world, be a part of our shows, it's really exciting. And tonight, we'll get a great look at that. You know, as Mystico is part of the big trios match tonight on AEW Collision on a special Thursday night show. Great to have multiple wrestlers from CMLL on the show tonight in multiple matches. And I think it's going to be really great when we go to Mexico and show the fans watching Dynamite what Arena Mexico is like, how passionate the fans are, what a great venue for wrestling it is, and also in the weeks and months to come, showcasing more of the great CMLL stars. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Bill. Dave Meltzer from the Wrestling Observer is next, to be followed by Dominic D'Angelo from One True Sport. Dave.
Oh. Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, hey, Dave.
Okay, hey, Tony, how you doing? I got a quick ask for like an update, if there's anything coming imminent as far as, you know, negotiations for any new domestic or international rights deals. But I think the main thing I wanted to ask was the when it comes to the data that you receive, the television data and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing this year is that the total viewer numbers for your shows are up. And you even brought it up, you know, we both have, you know, as far as they're up at a time when you would think with the addition of Max that it would siphon viewers off and it would probably decline a little bit. In fact, it's up, which is amazing. That's especially true with over 50. Under 50, it's not as true. So my supposition is probably that there's the similar growth in under 50, but it's more on the Max side because that makes the most sense. But the fact that we don't have that data, is that like frustrating to you? Because as far as the idea of like, are you up 10%? Are you up 30%? Are you up 50%? And it's kind of like, we don't know. And obviously that data is very important when it comes to decision making and popularity and things like that. So I was just wondering if, you know, if is that difficult for you when it comes to whether it's not so much booking, but overall, you know, running the company?
No, it's great. Great questions. For the first part of overseas deals, yes. Looking at some new international TV deals, nothing far enough along where I can comment on it right now, but it is a good question. As I said, domestically, the partnership between AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery is the lifeblood of our wrestling company, and being on TNT, TBS, and Max, it's what powers AEW. And having, you know, this great year we're having in 2025, as you said, it's amazing to see the TV viewership grow. And I agree with you. I think it is a good hypothesis that growth is happening in the younger viewers. We're seeing that bigger growth in the streaming, and we're seeing bigger growth with older viewers on cable and satellite. I think that makes total sense, and that does kind of add up to what I know so far, but I don't have all the data. It's not, you know, I don't get the same robust data from the streaming shows that I get from showing Dynamite and Collision on TBS and TNT. But seeing the cable and satellite growth, that's very, very exciting, because, you know, it means everything we're getting on streaming is all gravy. It's all addition on top of the growth we're seeing on cable. And to know that we are one of the top streaming sports shows on Max week in, week out, that's really exciting for us. And, you know, for me, in addition to that, I think that's absolutely great. But it doesn't, you know, it doesn't affect me not to have all that data, because to know that we're growing on cable and satellite, to know that we're one of their top shows and that they're happy, that's really the most important thing for me. So that's our primary partnership. And for international, we are looking at some new deals and some new territories. You know, we've expanded with some great international TV deals in recent years. We've had great success from the very beginning of the company in the UK with ITV, and in Canada with TSN. We have a new deal there that expanded Collision to USA Network. The show's done really well for them and is one of their top shows. And Dynamite's done very well on TSN, where we've also seen that kind of great growth. We've had great growth in England this year. So worldwide, great lift in AEW in 2025. It's very exciting. And while I don't have all the specifics for the streaming numbers that I have for the cable numbers every week and all that very specific data, I know that they're very happy with what we're doing, and that makes me very happy. So it's a little bit of a different role for me. I'm used to being the sports executive, and you know, whether it's with the AEW wrestlers or some of the great football players and people I deal with in football, it's a little bit different being on that side of the table, you know, trying to please the boss, trying to please the coach. And I think we've been doing a great job. I know they were really happy with our numbers this year. And I know that even last week in particular, we had our biggest Dynamite audience of the entire year and going back a long time. And that was extra impressive, because kind of like what we're talking about, the Dynamite audience last week, it was the biggest cable audience since September. But back in September, we weren't streaming. So it's presumably a lot more people than it was. So it's got to be one of our biggest audiences in a really long time, for sure. And what's exciting is that growth. It's in the US, it's in the UK, it's in Canada, which are the three biggest TV markets for us right now. I think it's important to focus on India. I think there are very exciting opportunities there, and we are looking at that aggressively. And that is another area where we can grow the TV, because there are a lot of wrestling fans in that territory, and it's a great wrestling territory. And there are some other overseas partnerships we're looking at that I think can really help AEW and be good for the company. But one thing for international I'm really excited about that we were just talking about on my last question is Fox Sports Mexico. That's one of the newest TV deals. That's been absolutely great. They're doing a great job with the content. Mexico has some of the greatest wrestling fans in the world. Obviously, they're located very closely to the U.S. The time zones match up. the fandoms intersect. I love Lucha Libre, have been integrating more and more Lucha Libre into the shows. Tonight, you'll see a lot of the CMLL stars, which is not an isolated thing. And I think that Fox Sports Mexico partnership is also really exciting. Thanks for asking, Dave.
Thank you, Dave. Dominic D'Angelo from One True Sport is next. I will follow Dominic with a write-in question from Brian Zillum from PW Torch. Dominic?
Okay. Tony Abel, hear me all right?
Yep.
Hey, cool. Awesome. Great card, it looks like, for Double or Nothing. It is crazy. It's been 6 years. It's nuts to think that. But I did want to ask you, in ties to the pay-per-view, the passing of Sabu. And I know you had a strong bond with him in regards to you being at that stretcher match that he was had at the ECW arena between him and Rob Van Dam. And I wanted to follow that up with the stretcher match you're going to have with Ricochet and Mark Briscoe. Is that paying homage to Sabu this weekend? And also just wanted your thoughts on the passing of Sabu and what he meant to you as a fan and as a promoter.
Well, thank you for asking. When I was a kid, Sabu fascinated me. And I first saw him in wrestling magazines when I was 10 years old, 11 years old. I thought this guy was really interesting. I'd only seen photos of him. And one of the first times I ever talked to people on the internet was when I was 12 years old. There was like, and some of you might remember this, there was a Sabu versus Cactus Jack match, and it was before video was being live streamed on the internet, so there were like guys like giving play by play of the match in a chat room, which would not, you know, it's basically like a forerunner to now on social media, people talking about the matches. And the first time I saw Sabu on video was on ECW tapes. And then the first time I got to see him in person was when I was 13 years old. Like you said, I've told the story many times, but just to reiterate it for the sake of completionism, I took this test to get admitted to the University of Illinois Laboratory High School when I was 13, and I did very well, and they admitted me to the school. I didn't want to go to the school, and I kind of took the test under somewhat false pretenses that if I passed it, at least it would show that I, you know, I could get into this top school, but I didn't actually have to go. But then when I got in, my parents really did want me to go. I did not want to go to the school, and I told them that, and they said, well, you know, let's negotiate. We'll do something. Like, you know, what is it you really want? And if it's reasonable, maybe we can do it. And I said, well, I'm 13 years old. Most of my best friends are people I talk to on America Online about wrestling. And I want to go to the ECW arena and I want to see the show. I want to see the Sabu Rob Van Dam stretcher match. I want to see Chris Jericho's last weekend in ECW. And I was 13 years old. And my dad took me to Philadelphia. And it was the first time I'd ever seen wrestling live outside of Champaign, Illinois, my hometown. And the main event of the weekend was the Rob Van Dam versus Sabu stretcher match. And in AEW, I've had the pleasure of working with both men. And I really, really like Rob, and I really, really like Sabu. And Sabu came in for us fittingly around Double or Nothing. And he was a great person. I really enjoyed meeting him. I was a fan of him as a kid and as an adult. He captivated me. What a great career he had. He was one of, as I to reiterate and reuse the same word I said at the very beginning of this, he was one of the most fascinating wrestlers I've ever seen. And he was so captivating and nuts. And he was bigger than life, especially to the fans in the ECW arena. We're going to be going and doing a series of shows in that venue. And the last time I was in that building, the last time I set foot in there, I was 13 years old, and it was the stretcher match, Sabu and Rob Van Dam. And this stretcher match, I had thought about the stretcher match. I thought it made a lot of sense, and it was what I was leaning towards. And then when Sabu passed, I thought, man, it's incredible that we're doing this stretcher match because it honestly was what I was already going to do. But probably inspired in part by the fact that I was at that great stretcher match. It's a great memory for me as a kid, and it's something I wanted to do in AEW. I don't think we've done a stretcher match as far as I can remember. I mean, we've been doing this 6 years, but I can't remember one. We've had some great matches and all kinds of great stipulations, but it just felt like the right time for what Mark Briscoe and Ricochet were doing and for this Double or Nothing. And then it was terrible when I heard Sabu pass. I'm very sorry for his family and close friends. I met him a few times and was a big fan, but I didn't know him really, really well. He said some really nice things about me that I really appreciated. And, you know, to return the favor, I think he is awesome and I'm a huge fan of his. And I think it's a huge loss to the world of wrestling that we lost Sabu. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Dominic. So I've got a write-in question here from Brian Zillum from PW Torch, and we'll follow the write-in with Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald. So, Tony, the question from Brian, is there any update regarding streaming pay-per-views on HBO Max? Is there anything that you can possibly address that could be delaying the process?
Hey, Brian. Yeah, I actually kind of covered that earlier, I think, Jim, when I was referring to the pay-per-view providers and kind of had said, this is new technology. So, we have great pay-per-view providers right now. Amazon Prime has come on this year. YouTube, all the cable and satellite in demand, PPV.com. There's a lot of great ways to watch the pay-per-view. But in particular, I think we're very focused on our partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery always, and they are building out that technology. That's not something that exists in the current platform. You know, there aren't pay-per-views that you can buy right now in any sport like that on Max, but I think that's something that is coming and they're building, and that's part of what we're working towards and having an even more expansive partnership than it already is with AEW and Warner Brothers Discovery. Mr. Zaslav gave us this great opportunity to start doing Collision. Of course, we have Collision tonight on TBS. It's a little bit of a different night and a bit of a different network than we're used to, but it's a great opportunity. And I'm excited because we have the countdown to Double or Nothing on right after Collision tonight. So it's a couple more days for people to build and see these stories and get excited. For me, I really, really, love those countdown shows. I think our team does a fantastic job on them. And Mike, Phil, all the people in Nashville that work on these packages, they do a fantastic job. And we have a great team that really collaborates, whether it's the packages you see on social media or on Dynamite Collision or this show. And when you look in, and whether it's Mike, Phil, Jim and Eric, and Christy, Julian, and Kevin, Ben, so many of these great people in Nashville working on these packages that they send us in the truck, and then Mike and the team in the truck are processing these. But those countdown shows in particular, I think they do a great job of summarizing some of the great moments, some of the great stories, and getting people excited for the pay-per-view. So I think that's one of the great things about Collision being on tonight is having that countdown show. These are great examples of the great content that's on Max right now around the pay-per-view, whether it's the Dynamites, the Collisions, or these countdown events. But I do think eventually we're going to get there. I think it's just really building out new technology. There was never any expectation, Brian, or nobody ever said that this technology was going to be available in Q1 or Q2. So no, I don't think there's any delay. I think they're doing a great job. And, I think we're really, really excited about that. And right now, I think we're also doing a great job in terms of having a number of great providers, whether it's cable, satellite, YouTube, and now bringing on Amazon Prime as a partner this year. I think we have great pay-per-view partners, and Amazon Prime in particular this year has become a huge part of our pay-per-view viewership, and I expect that to continue growing with the scale of Amazon. And again, the lifeblood of AEW, the most important thing to us is our partnership with Warner Brothers Discovery. So when that pay-per-view capability does arrive, it's going to be a huge part of our business plan. And, you know, we're still waiting on the technology that being built out there. Thanks for asking.
Thank you, Brian. So, all right, we're in the home stretch here. We're going to go with Jim Varsalone from the Miami Herald, to be followed by Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful. Jim?
Hey, Jim, are you there? Hello?
Jim, is that you? Let's try Sean.
Are you on mute?
Sorry.
Oh, is Jim on mute here? We can go to Sean and maybe see if Jim
can unmute. Yeah, let's try that. Robin, why don't we open the line for Sean Ross Sapp from Fightful, if Sean is ready to go.
Now,
hey Sean.
Hey, there have been many people online, including myself, that have expressed the desire to see women's world tag team championships. Is this something that you've ever considered, or you're open to doing in the near future?
Yeah, AEW is having a great 2025, and I'm trying to build us to the strongest point we've been, and we're taking great steps. That is something I would like to do, and it is a goal for me. And I think you can see there's a number of great tandems and alliances, and there are some great tag matches in the women's division. Right now, I'm also very focused on building back the men's tag division. We've had a lot of injuries there, and now we're trying to get people healthy and also get the best teams working together. So as I'm rebuilding the men's tag division, certainly – that's something that I am interested in doing in the future. There are a lot of great teams in the women's division. There are a lot of great partnerships and rivalries that would lend themselves to those matches. I think as I'm building back the tag division I have right now, trying to get it to its strongest point, which I think is moving in a good direction. And also as we get people healthy, and also when you look at some of the great tag matches happening in AEW, the division's getting better. And I think we have great talent, and now it's about getting, you know, people healthy, and I think that's in 2025. Like I said, I've been trying to put on the very best shows we possibly can, and I think whether it's you know, for example, having an injury to Buddy in the Hounds of Hell, or having Kevin Knight, in that case, not an injury, but Kevin Knight was in a part of a great tag team with Speedball Bailey, where we lost one half of the team to the Super Juniors, but he'll be back. As we're building, to me, the best shows we've been building on TV week in, week out, that's something I want to get to, is the best tag team wrestling in the world. And I think we have the best wrestlers, and I am interested in doing that. But, you know, as you can probably tell, I'm also trying to build back the tag division I have right now, if that makes sense. So thanks for asking. And I know I do think it's something I'm very interested in doing, and it is very realistic to see at some point.
Thank you, Sean. I think we're going to try Jim Varsalone again from the Miami Herald. And if we're successful with Jim, we're going to have Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy follow Jim. Jimmy there?
Hey, I am. Thank you. Sorry all about that. Congratulations.
No, it's okay.
Congrats on 6 years. Any company doing something and lasting 6 years and growing, good for you all. Congrats. I want to talk about that, but I do want to mention Hurt Syndicate with MJF. Whatever MJF is involved in, it's just amazing, and it's going to be a great match. The Sons of Texas, you got Dustin and Sammy. That's going to be so cool. All the matches are cool. Tony, 6 years. When you look at stuff and you're talking about TV, streaming, Warner Brothers, all these different things, could you even fathom the growth in those 6 years when you're looking at this from the very beginning, and then, you know, how things change and you have to adapt and different things, but just how do you look at the growth of AEW over these 6 years? And thank you.
Well, thank you, Jim. It's amazing. It's amazing to think when we started in the MGM Grand and had fans from all over the world come to support something new, and to think that fans have stuck with it. We've had support from day one. Some of you have been following AEW from day one and giving us the coverage and the opportunity to promote our product and giving us fair coverage. I do think we've expanded and grown in great ways. It's very exciting to me personally, but I want to keep doing the most we can with it. It's a great opportunity. And I am so glad that the perception from our fans, the vibe around AEW right now is the company's doing really well and the data supports it. It's just really great to see things clicking. And it makes me very happy because we're having this success and it feels almost like we're having this success, but we have the same spirit we had when we were the lean, brand new company. And like I said earlier, trying to take that spirit, like wherever we go, we're bringing the vibe like it's Daily's place and everybody wants to be in AEW and the fans are really feeling it. You know, you see the viewership, the growth, and like you said, the expansion to streaming. It's been a great, great 2025 for AEW and we really want to keep it going. And that's why we're so excited about this Sunday, because Double or Nothing, as you said, the matches look great. The stories on TV right now are fascinating. The rivalries are captivating. It's a great time to be an AEW fan. It's a great time to be an AEW wrestler. And let's go Double or Nothing. Let's double down on it this Sunday. So I'm very excited about it. And Jim, you're one of those people that's been covering AEW for the whole 6 years. So thank you for that. And I appreciate your kind words. Thank you.
Thank you, Jim. We've got Amy Nemedy from WrestleJoy next. And I think the time, if there's time after you address Amy's question, Tony, I've got to write in. But let's see. Let's get Amy in first. Amy, you're up.
Hi, Tony. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can. Hi.
Hey, first of all, I'm so excited to see AEW bringing Double or Nothing here to Arizona at the Desert Diamond Arena. It's been wonderful seeing all of the promotional flyers all over the LED screens at the venue. With this being your first time here for a pay-per-view, I also wanted to talk about another first. Hangman Page and Will Ospreay facing each other in singles a competition in a dream match for the very first time. We have two beloved faces in AEW, Hangman being focused on his redemption while Ospreay is focused on his ascension. Both are chasing their destiny and both have a valid claim for the AEW World Championship. Can you talk about your thoughts on both of these men as representatives of AEW, as well as the dynamics of having two men who both fans really want to root for and see win for the Owen Cup Finals? Thank you.
Well, I think it's something really exciting, and it's great to see how the AEW fans have supported each of these wrestlers. And when you look, Hangman Page has been with AEW from the very beginning, the first show. He was on the very first Double or Nothing, and it was very clear from the first show that Hangman Page was going to be somebody on the path to the AEW World Championship, and he accomplished that. He won the championship at Full Gear 2021, defeating one of the greatest wrestlers and champions of all time, Kenny Omega, for the title in one of the greatest matches in the history of AEW. And Hangman Page came so far. And eventually he did lose the championship. It was at Double or Nothing 3 years ago. And now 3 years later, Hangman Page is on this road to redemption he's been talking about. And it's a fascinating match because, again, it's him going for his redemption versus the ascending star, Will Ospreay, somebody who is just an unbelievable wrestler, somebody who is an unbelievable leader. And both of these men are absolutely at the top of AEW right now. That's why it's so perfect to have the Owen Hart Finals be this dream match that nobody can predict and all of the fans are talking about. There's so much excitement around Hangman and Ospreay. I'm excited about it and I can't wait for Sunday. and the opening interviews and the comments from Will Ospreay and Hangman Page about this match and the intensity, it just helped build the excitement. I thought they were just in a fantastic tag team match last week together. And then it really broke down at the end in terms of an inadvertent coming to blows. And I thought that was a very, very great match. I thought that was a very interesting situation. And then this week, I thought that they just took it to another level. I think there were fans already really excited. There were fans going into last night's Dynamite really fired up and looking forward to Hangman Page versus Will Ospreay this Sunday. And I think fans are even more excited and more fired up for Double or Nothing after what they saw last night. And I think it's just going to be a great, great match. I'm really excited about it. It's a tremendous main event and very befitting the 6-year anniversary show of the entire company, 6 years from the launch of AEW Double or Nothing number 7. And I'm really excited about it. I don't think we can pick a better main event. I think it's the perfect match. I'm really excited about Will Ospreay versus Hangman Page this Sunday.
Thank you, Amy. Thank you, Tony. Tony, I think you can answer this one. We're going to close here with a write-in from Aruna Vagoshal. I think you can answer this one quickly. Darby Allin just achieved an amazing feat, placing the AEW flag at Mount Everest. So is AEW planning to celebrate this moment in the near future, maybe a future title shot for Darby?
Well, Darby Allin's one of the great wrestlers in AEW, and we're so proud of what he's accomplished. So proud. Darby Allin, he did it. He successfully climbed Mount Everest. It was something that was a big goal of his. When Darby left AEW, it was under a dark cloud. He got thrown down the stairs in the Hammerstein Ballroom by the Death Riders to end 2024. And he then went on this journey with, I think, two goals in mind. And one of his goals he absolutely had to focus on as he ascended Mount Everest was this journey he was going on and becoming the first pro wrestler ever to climb Mount Everest, one of the first pro athletes to accomplish this feat. And it's something that he should celebrate. And I think it's just an absolutely incredible achievement. I love Darby Allin very much. I think he's a great person, and he's another person that since the very first year of AEW, going back to our first shows, he's been here and been a huge part of the company. He's somebody who loves being at AEW. The fans love Darby, and he's a huge part of our locker room. So I hope he'll come back here, I hope he's making it down Mount Everest just as safe as he made it up, and look forward to hopefully seeing him back here. He's one of the greatest wrestlers ever in AEW, former world tag team champion, undefeated world tag team champion with Sting. I think arguably the greatest tag team ever in AEW with Sting and Darby Allin, certainly in the conversation with the great teams. And to have, I have to say, not only one of the greatest TNT title reigns, but also some of the greatest matches and moments ever in AEW. So whenever Darby can make it back, we're excited to have him back. And he's one of our top stars and look forward to seeing Darby again.
All right. Thank you, Arunava, who, by the way, is from Sports Kita. I forgot to identify Arunava there. Tony, we are at time. Any real brief closing thoughts before we wrap?
I think we've covered a lot of the matches and a lot of the excitement on the card. I'm excited for Double or Nothing this Sunday. I'm really excited for Collision tonight. We haven't talked much on the call about it, but I think one of the matches that people will be even more excited about coming out of tonight's Collision is FTR versus Daniel Garcia and Nigel McGuinness. I think that's going to be an absolutely tremendous match. I'm really looking forward to the contract signing for that match tonight. And when I talk about the great tag teams, of course, you have to talk about FTR. And you have to talk about, as you talk about this pay-per-view, one of the great things to see one of AEW's top young stars, Daniel Garcia, teaming with one of the legends, Nigel McGuinness. And Nigel McGuinness with a lot to prove, with a chip on his shoulder in recent weeks, particularly on Collision. That rivalry has really heated up, and I'm excited for the Collision tonight and that contract signing. There's going to be a lot of great stuff on Collision tonight on TBS. So I would encourage you all to check that out. And I wanted to thank you all. Thank you for being a part of this. A number of you, in fact, I think most of you, have been covering AEW from the very beginning. Most of the people I heard from today have been covering AEW for 6 years, since the very first Double or Nothing. And I really appreciate that. Thank you for giving us the opportunity, the outlet, the fair coverage. And thanks for joining us today. I hope to see some of you after Double or Nothing in the media scrum. And if I didn't get to answer your question today, I tried to answer as many as I could in the hour. But if I didn't, I hope I can answer your questions at the media scrum at the pay-per-view. And if not there, hopefully sometime soon I'll see you. Thank you all for covering AEW and giving us this opportunity. Thank you for joining us today for this call. Jim and Robin, great job with the moderating. Jim, it was good to have you back on here.
Of course, that is my privilege. And thank you, Tony. And really, thanks to everyone here again on the call. As Tony mentioned, well, first of all, AEW Double or Nothing has been an annual tradition over the Memorial Day holiday weekend, as you know. And you've all been part of that tradition, as Tony noted. So for that, we thank you. Unfortunately, we're at the end now. We will be distributing an audio recording to all attendees shortly. So I'll be looking for that. And again, from everyone, from Tony and everyone at AEW, thank you. Thank you so much. Looking forward to joining you with us at Double or Nothing in Glendale, Arizona this Sunday. Thank you very much, everyone.